chapter 11, verses 1 to 11, the story of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Mark writes and says, "As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut into fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word, a word that is as true today as it was the day it was written. And we're thankful today, Lord, for this story of the triumphal entry of Jesus, for it helps us to begin this pilgrimage of Holy Week. We know, Lord, that there are many things happening in the days ahead, many parts of this story that we catch just a glimpse of this morning. But it is our prayer that you would enable us to live in such a way that the days ahead will truly be a holy week for us. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have been amongst you for about 9 months now, but one of my earliest memories of being with the people of Upper Arlington was something that happened on July the 4th. What happens in Upper Arlington on July the 4th? Does anyone know? There's a parade. I almost entitled this sermon, "I Love a Parade," but I thought that was too cliche. But I do love a parade. And that's what this story today is kind of about. There's a parade that's happening that Jesus is leading. Now, I remember back in July, someone said to me, you need to get out on the street early. I said, "How early?" They said, "Like, June the 30th. I said, "Well, it can't be that big of a deal, can it?"
Yeah.
It is a big deal. Very big deal. And the story that we read today is a very big deal. A parade with palm fronds and crowds and cries of praise. Can you imagine the excitement? I got a glimpse of the excitement of the Upper Arlington Parade, July the 4th, as I saw, what was it, the class of 72 going down the road, people waving and pointing to their classmates from years ago, and I saw the fire engines, and I saw the jugglers and the clowns, and all those things that take place in that parade. Can you imagine the excitement of Palm Sunday as Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem, and the crowds went ahead and the crowds went behind, and all the while shouting his praise, "Hosanna." Hosanna means save now. They were proclaiming Jesus as the King of Jerusalem. Now, as we met on Tuesday morning this past week in our weekly Bible study, there's about 15 or 20 of us that gather. I confess to them that this passage, this day, for me as a preacher, is the hardest Sunday of the year. It's the hardest one for me. And I wrestled with that this week. Why is Palm Sunday so hard for me? It's a parade, and I love parades. This is what I concluded. There's a problem with Palm Sunday. At least for me. There's a problem with Palm Sunday. Now, some of you may say, well, what's the problem, Pastor Dave? It's the triumphal entry of Jesus. It's a day of celebration. Oh, but it's more than that. It's more than that. I don't know if I've ever told you yet, but I do not like roller coasters. Never been on one. That's a true story. Never been on a roller coaster. I'm the guy at Kings Island who's down below with all the drinks waving at the family as they ride the roller coaster. That's me, and I like it down there. I don't like roller coasters because it's filled with ups and downs and twists and turns, and ultimately, I've placed my life in somebody else's hands, and I'm out of control. That's why I don't like roller coasters. That's a problem for me. I prefer my life to be more like a linear journey, from a straight shot from point A to point B. That's how I like to live my life. But here's what I've discovered. Life is not always up and to the right. If you can imagine a graph, I like things to start here and go straight this way all the time, from point A to point B. Always growing, always increasing, always doing better, always gaining. But life is not always up and to the right. I wish it were. Life is more like a roller coaster, full of ups and downs and twists and turns. And we are regularly reminded that not everything is under our control. As Jesus entered into Jerusalem that day, I would imagine that the disciples thought to themselves, finally, we're going to be in power. Jesus is going to overthrow the Roman government. He's going to put the Pharisees and the religious teachers in their place. And finally, as James and John wished, one of us will be at the right hand and one of us will be at the left hand, and Jesus will be in control. Jesus had a different journey in mind for that week. Jesus didn't intend to go from point A to point B, straight up and to the right. Jesus had a different journey in mind for the roller coaster ride of Holy Week. What struck me as I've been reading this passage is that the Palm Sunday story is full of ups and downs. The Holy Week story is full of ups and downs. Even the topography of the area of Jerusalem is literally full of ups and downs. The story begins at Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. And to get to Jerusalem, Jesus would have had to go down through the valley, the Kidron Valley, and back up into Jerusalem. Who's been to Jerusalem before? Raise your hand. Is that not true? Mount of Olives, Kidron Valley, Jerusalem. Up, down, and up again. Can you imagine the emotion of this week as experienced by Jesus and the disciples? Begins with Palm Sunday with this triumphal entry and people shouting praise and Hosanna, this high emotional experience. And the interesting part is the very next story in the Gospels is Jesus overturning the temple, the tables and the money changers. We didn't read it today, but that's what happens next. A very low moment, if you will. Low moments like Gethsemane. Low moments like Jesus humbling himself and washing feet. Emotionally low moments like Good Friday. And then back up for Easter Sunday. It's a roller coaster ride. And even politically, Jesus enters into Jerusalem on a donkey, symbolizing peace and humility. And yet we know that Pilate has entered with his Roman army with power and pride and the threat of war. You probably already know this, but Jesus' procession into Jerusalem was not the only one that the city saw that day. You might already know that Jesus' procession was preceded, as Roman historians record, that the governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate, also led a procession of Roman soldiers into Jerusalem that day. Imagine the spectacle of that entry. From the western side of the city, the opposite side of which Jesus enters, Pontius Pilate leads Roman soldiers on horseback and on foot. You can almost hear the stomping of the boots. You can almost shudder at the sound of the threats. Power and domination. Pride. And on the other side of the city, there's Jesus riding a donkey. Children singing his praises. Humble people waving palm branches. As the Romans entered, the threat of what was called Pax Romana, Roman peace. By the way, Roman peace meant it'll be peaceful as long as you do what we say. And on the other side of the city, a peace that passes all understanding. On the western side of the city, Pilate would have rode in on a stallion, symbolizing strength, and Jesus riding a donkey, symbolizing humility. It was not uncommon, as conquering kings would ride into Jerusalem over the centuries, that they would ride in on a stallion, leading behind them a parade of captives, Jewish soldiers that they had taken captive with chains on their arms, being paraded in humility and humiliation through the streets. And here comes Jesus, the King of Kings, leading a parade of people that he had set free. So you may be wondering, what's the problem with Palm Sunday? What is the problem? Well, I suppose there is no problem. If we go straight from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. And I suspect that many of us will try to do that this week. Many of us, like the disciples, would rather go from celebration to celebration. But Jesus just won't let us do that. We might begin to ask ourselves some questions this week. If today is such a glorious Sunday for all Christians, what goes wrong by Friday that Jesus finds himself betrayed and arrested and accused and tried and sentenced to death as a common criminal? I got to be honest with you. See, that's my problem with Palm Sunday. I wish I could gloss over the painful parts. I wish I could go with you from hosannas to hallelujahs. But Jesus won't let us do that. Maybe the problem with Palm Sunday is like the crowd on that day. Our view of God sometimes is too small. Maybe that's the problem. That my view of God is sometimes too small. You see, if it were up to me, I'd like for Jesus to skip the rest of Holy Week. If it were up to me, I'd try to limit what Jesus would be doing in the days ahead. Jesus, there's no need to wash feet. Because if you wash feet, I gotta wash feet. Jesus, there's no need of betrayal this week, because if you get betrayed, there's a really good chance that sometime in my life I'll be betrayed. Jesus, there's no need for fervent prayer in the garden where you wrestle with doing God's will over your own, because what that might mean is that there might come a time when I'll have to choose God's will over my own. Jesus, there's no need for a cross. And if there's no need for a cross, there's no need for a tomb. But Jesus won't let us gloss over painful parts. He won't let us simply go from hosannas to hallelujahs, because there's a lot in between. If it were up to me, I would be like one of Jesus' disciples and be asking him to send the Romans packing and make himself king of Israel. Wouldn't that just be easier on everybody? I think so. And I know it would make it easier on me. Because if it were up to me, I'd like for Jesus to deal with Rome, but that's too small of a goal for him. He'd rather deal with my sin. If it were up to me, I'd like for Jesus to be king of Israel, but that's too small a goal for him. Jesus is the king of the universe. If it were up to me, I'd like for Jesus to make my life linear, straight from point A to point B. But that's too small a goal. Do you know what I've noticed? I've noticed that God doesn't take my advice. Because I've asked God to do those very things many, many times, and he just doesn't take my advice. I suppose the problem with Palm Sunday is that really it forces us to make a choice. Are we going to follow Jesus only on the upside of life? Or will we follow him in both the ups and the downs of life? The triumphal entry of Jesus must have made for an amazing day, because we know that the days that followed were not amazing at all to many. I am all for shouts for Hosanna, but the cries of crucify him bring me grief. What could Jesus be telling to tell us on a day like today? What could Jesus be speaking into our lives on a week like this week? Maybe it's this, that we must choose to follow Jesus in the ups and the downs. That we must be willing to follow him in the parades of Hosannas and be willing to praise him in the shouts of Hallelujah on Easter. But we must follow him to the cross. We must be willing to stay awake and pray with him at the midnight hour. We must be willing to follow him in the ups and the downs, in the praise-filled and the painful, in the honorable and the humbling, seeking the crown and carrying the cross, following Jesus in the moments of life that we would choose, and following Jesus in the moments of life that God chooses for us. It is a good day. It's a day to celebrate what Christ is doing and what he's about to do in the story. But please, please don't miss what is in between. Don't be a Christian that goes from Hosanna to Hallelujah. Follow Jesus all the way to the cross and watch the power of God at work. As God turns death into life and despair into hope and brings goodness out of the darkest moments of our days. But we only find that if we're willing to follow Jesus to the cross. May we pray. Oh God, be near us this day, for many have gathered with broken hearts. And your word reminds us in Psalm 34, verse 18, that you are near the brokenhearted and close to those crushed in spirit. Today is a day of celebration in which we remember, Lord, how you entered with a proclamation of peace and a demonstration of humility into the city of Jerusalem. But the story does not end here. It only begins. And in the days ahead, oh God, we pray that you would help us to hear every part of the story, the good and the bad, the ups and the downs, and all the while be willing to proclaim and recognize you as the Lord, the one who gives us good things, and the one who draws near to us in the midst of bad things. Above all, Lord, help us to trust you. To trust you with our lives and the lives of those we love. To trust you even to the point of going with you to Calvary. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for the gift of your love. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.